Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Friday, and all's well with me, I can tell you that.
Well, you had another bout of insomnia, didn't you?
I did. I had a brutal bout of insomnia. I don't know what it is, man.
Yay! Hey, quit playing on a computer and everything like that. What about that Candy Crush Saga?
No, it ain't Candy Crush Saga. But I will say this. You know, I get to bed and I start to read.
See, right? That's the thing you don't want to do. But I always have to turn the light. I can't fall asleep with the light on.
Well, I'm reading using a Kindle. And so the light from the Kindle, you know.
What is a Kindle? What is this?
It's the thing that people are using now, General.
I'm not familiar with this. What is it?
It's like a computer that you're reading on.
What do you mean a computer you're reading on?
Kindle is a new little flat screen device that loads books. So they are e-books, you know.
Oh yeah, the e-book. I've heard about that. I heard about some young girl who wrote an e-book about some kind of monstrosity, something. Did you read about this?
No, who?
Well, it was a young lady. She wrote an e-book about a creature from beyond, something.
Is this something that she made up?
Yes, it's something she made up. Of course it's something she... What I'm trying to tell you is she wrote a book about some creature that sold millions.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it started out, and they said she got the lowdown, or she loaded it for whatever they say.
The downloads.
Whatever they say. And she started out getting maybe 5,000, and then it got to the millions. And she sold millions of this book, and I don't know what it is. I wouldn't read it if they held a loaded shotgun to my... Oh, but...
Well, what? It's a fantasy book, General, is that right?
I don't know what you'd call it, but it's about some ghoul. And you know how these ghouls are very popular now, you know.
Yeah, a lot of the ghoul books are.
What do you mean ghouls are popular now? You talking about like Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, well, who's the guy? The Lord of the Ring? Or the...
Call the Lord of the Ring, General.
The Lord of the Ring, yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, well, those are all the fantasy books and...
Who's the guy I read about? This guy Potter, what's he about?
Harry Potter is a fictitious...
Well, you told me that the manager that you used to have said that Harry Potter was a cheap piece of you-know-what. You said that... Didn't he say that?
Oh, that was a joke that Doug was... Yeah, Doug was dealing with the Harry Potter producers, and he said that they were a cheap bunch of creeps or... I don't know, you know.
Well, no. You said that Harry Potter is a cheap, dirty...
Harry Potter doesn't exist.
Phil, don't yell at him.
You know, you don't have to treat me like I'm a... Don't treat me like I'm in my own ward, okay? I understand what he's saying.
All right, if you understand what I'm saying, you understand that Harry Potter is a book, okay?
It's a fictitious character, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's all you had to... Then what was this guy talking about when he said that Harry Potter was a cheap, dirty, skinflint sheeny?
What do you mean, sheeny?
Didn't you say it was anti-Semitic?
No, it wasn't anti-Semitic. What a horrible thing to say.
Phil, I didn't say it. You did.
No, I did not say that. No, I didn't say that.
Don't get all panicked out, Phil. God.
I don't like those kind of words. You understand? And I don't want them on the air, and I never said anything like that.
Well, where did I hear that?
You probably was that... the pawnbroker.
Yeah, we were watching the pawnbroker the other night.
Oh, I heard it on the pawnbroker. Yeah, with Rod Steiger. Yeah.
Rod Steiger. Boy, one of these days, General, you know...
One of these days what, my friend? You better be smiling. What?
One of these days, you're going to pronounce some names right, is all I'm, you know, saying. Have you got your cottage cheese?
Check.
Have you got your vanilla wafers?
Check.
Yoo-hoo?
God damn.
Go get the Yoo-hoo.
Go, you, Dickman, you go get it.
All right, so, what the hell are we talking about, man? Oh, I was talking about e-books or something? I don't know where I am. So, yeah, you know, it's insomnia, and I was reading. See, this is what happens, you know.
Well, Phil, you have to keep notes. Keep notes. Here's what I was talking about when the general began to go off into his flight of fancy. And here's what I was talking about.
Now, I got a better idea. How about if everybody just stays on the point that I'm making and they don't have to go off on their little fantasy line, you know, this thing about Harry Potter being a cheap creep, you know.
No, Harry Potter cheap?
Harry Potter don't exist, man.
No, I mean, the producer?
No, it's just a bunch of business talk. They said that this guy that I knew, he was... working with one of the actors in the film, and he made the offhand remark that Harry Potter's a cheap bastard, you know?
Well, I think that that's the kind of thing. That doesn't bring us together. That doesn't bring talent. It doesn't bring the talent and the studio together. We need to bring them together.
Oh, come on, Margaret. What are you, all of a sudden Humphrey Bogart's agent? We need to bring... Boy, I'll tell you something.
What are you talking about?
The whole thing you're laying out there sounds like it's something right out of the rear end of a... I don't know.
All right. This is the kind of scuttlebutt you're going to hear. Every business, no matter what the business, it doesn't matter. It could be anything. You could be selling washers. You could be working for Sears. That kind of cutthroat mentality and the back and forth is what it kind of is what makes the business go round. Guys are going to say, be real nice to each other in person. You know, hey, how you doing? Nice to do a business with you. Blah, 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 blah. And then later on, you know, boy, that guy's a real cheap slob.
Well, and your father was a salesman.
Yeah, you talked about your dad. Didn't he say some guy was a cheap creep?
Jesus, bud, why don't you just go out on the street and announce it? Hey, Phil said that his dad's, you know, well, just take it easy, man, you know.
You said him saying they got to turn it up anyway.
I know, but in the studio, I can hear him. My father had all kinds of fantastic things that he used to talk about. He would come home from work, and my dad sold everything in his life. He sold everything. He was a salesman from the beginning to the bitter end. He had a job as a cop. My father was a motorcycle cop in Toronto, Canada for 6 months until he laid the bike down in the snow or something.
What do you mean, laid it? He had a motorcycle crash?
Yeah, he had a motorcycle crash, and he cut his scalp open, I guess, but so that was the end of that. So he became a salesman, and he sold business machines, he sold computers. At one point, he sold big industrial truck tires. He sold everything, and he was working for NCR, which is an old company. You guys don't know this company, and I barely know it. Back before there were computers, there were business machine companies, and they all pretty much got subsumed or otherwise devoured or otherwise run out of business by the granddaddy of them all, IBM. IBM survives today as a big a company that is, their business is computers, you know, personal computers. But at one time, IBM, along with companies like NCR, Burroughs, and here's an interesting thing.
Oh, Burroughs, now that's the person.
Can I do it?
Well, this is more up my alley, Phil. This is right straight up my alley. What is he laughing? I'm going to kick...
Hey, watch it. Watch it.
But I said right straight up my alley. He looked at me and went, hee-hee-hee.
Well, you set up your alley.
I didn't say up my alley. Did I point to anything?
You almost did.
No, but I didn't.
What do you mean, did you point to anything?
I began to point to... Anyway, it seems like it's a little bit more up my alley.
Well, all right, it could be up your alley, but I'd like to say it because...
I'll say it. William Burroughs, who was the author of Naked Lunch, that's his family.
Okay, you want to just go ahead and do the show?
Oh, my God, what an animal.
Phil, take it easy.
Well, I mean, I asked her not to say anything. Okay.
All right, Phil, I'm sorry. You can go ahead and talk about it.
It's fine. I apologize, Margaret. I should not have blurted that. I haven't had any sleep, okay?
You need somebody. What about that medical marijuana? Is that stuff working or not?
I don't know. It doesn't really do it for me, you know?
You gotta smoke a huge bud. Get a huge bud, jam it in a pipe, light it up with about two matches, and take the first hit, you know?
Yeah, what's the first hit, man? That's always the key hit. What's the first hit?
Yeah, what's the first hit? And then suck it down, and then hold it in and go, man, you won't know what hit you.
By the way, you know that holding the smoke in is horse dung. You don't have to do that.
What are you talking about?
You don't have to hold the smoke in. All those years, people holding the smoke in, you don't have to hold the smoke in when you're smoking weed. You don't have to do that at all. By the way, there's another piece of information I want to lay on you guys, and then we'll get back to this whole Burroughs thing. The e-cigarette has now been outlawed in certain venues. There's a certain prohibition against the e-cigarette in Los Angeles, maybe Los Angeles County. I don't know the particulars, but we'll give it to you. And I'm sure other cities are going to adopt that. And I got a really guilty conscience when I read that.
Well, you're the one that opened your big bazoo about the fact that somebody you knew was smoking an electronic cigarette with the marijuana. Was inside the electronic cigarette with the marijuana. You're the one that did it.
Yeah, that's right, General, and that's why I felt guilty, like maybe somebody heard me. But I very, 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 very much seriously doubt it. Okay, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We're going to be right back here with the whole Burroughs thing. Bobby Dooley is returning tonight to talk about the freedom of religion at Western Estates, whatever that's about. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We're online at philhenryshow.com. So if you want to listen to our show every single night, you can do it free. You don't have to have a BSP at Listen Live. And you do that, and you can listen mobile. So with your smartphone, pretty much you can do anything you want to do now, man. You can, with a smartphone, you probably, man, I think you can master invisibility, man. You know, you can contact Mars with that thing. You know.
That was on, see, that was on the pawnbroker the other night.
Yeah, that was that nut. That was the heroin addict that came in to try to, what was he trying to sell?
Oh, the pawnbroker, it was the heroin addict who had a radio.
Yeah. All right, so, and also TuneIn. So if you have your TuneIn app, or if you have the Phil Henry Radio Show bookmarked there on your smartphone, you just hit up our Listen Live. No BSP necessary, and you've got us mobile there for the duration. And then, of course, we are on the 17th, beginning our show at 9 a.m. live, and we will have the podcast dropping the same day, probably around 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern. All right. A lot of things to talk about here. The e-cigarette thing just erupted. We've got Bobby Dooley waiting in the wings, and Ms. Dooley is at the Western Estates Homeowners Association at the Western Estates Community Center there. She had been on the air yesterday. And by the way, Bobby, I thought it was, I want to just pay my compliments to you and to Steve. I think you held down pretty well. Where is Ms. Dooley?
I've gone on line 2 probably, or maybe line 4.
Where is she?
Oh, line 2.
Hi, Bobby. It's Phil Henry. How are you?
Oh, hi, Phil.
Congratulations on, I think you did a pretty good job on the show last night. We do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We had a great time. I do apologize to anyone that might have been offended by the situation I got into with Steve. I had to put Steve in his place a little bit.
Well, I mean...
Hold on, Steve. I had to put Steve in his place, and that did necessitate me to dish up a beating, I think is the way the kids call it.
Well, I heard a little bit of the tape. I mean, you had him. You were hitting him in the stomach, and then you uppercut him a few times, and...
Well, yes, we had a photograph on your homepage. He basically went ankles over... As they used to say, ankles over ass, or...
Well, you're not allowed to say that.
Well, I just did say it, Steve, didn't I? So, anyway...
All right, let's move past all of that. Thank you for joining us. You had a discussion last evening with, I believe, Larry Grover. You're also talking to some law enforcement consultant as to freedom of religion at the Western Estates Homeowners Association, not only at the Homeowners Association, but freedom of religion there in the common areas. And I don't know what it... I know tonight you are having an Easter celebration rehearsal, correct?
Yeah, Phil, in the background you hear the Western Estates Youth Corps and the Western Estates Parent Youth Corps, I should say, the Drum Corps. And this is to celebrate Easter, which is something we love to do here at Western Estates. It is a traditional celebration that we have the entire community involved in. Easter, as you know, Phil, is the resurrection of Jesus. And it is a very, very important festival or festivity on the Christian calendar.
Now I'm listening. This was the conversation last night.
Hold on for just a minute, Steve. Okay, I'm sorry, Phil. Just hold on, Steve. 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, good, honey. We're in the middle of really. We're getting down to the final rehearsals.
When is Easter?
Okay, hold on for a minute, Steve. Okay.
Is this... Where are you?
We're in Western Estates. We're right outside the community center. It's in the common area.
Bad boy, hello, what?
All right, honey, don't do that anymore, okay? Have the kids sit down and,
Sit down. Everybody sit down. Sit down and calm down.
Well, they're not... I'm sorry, I should have been me talking and you talk over here.
That's right. They're not sitting down, Steve. I'm sorry, Phil. Because you haven't slept, neither have I, and so obviously it's causing all kinds of problems here tonight. But I will say that we have had a good rehearsal so far.
All right, here's what I want to ask you. You had the L.A. sheriff out there saying that there was a wild, frenzied dancing.
Yeah, they didn't understand.
But what I'm hearing in the background sounds very much like a tribal dance of some kind.
No. It's, what? Phil, I'm talking to Phil Henry. He said it sounds tribal. A lot of the people are getting a kick out of that. We're here. What we do, Phil, is we have lawn chairs set up, myself and the other parents, and we let the youth corps begin our Easter celebration where our minister walks in. We have Father McCorders, who's Catholic. We also have Reverend Castorini, Dave Castorini from the youth ministry. And they walk in as our youth corps is playing the traditional fanfare for Easter. But we're here. Generally, we'll have Bloody Marys or something. Nothing.
You're drinking Bloody Marys?
Yeah, it's not a big thing, Phil.
Yeah, no, it's no big deal, Mr. Eddie. Don't make a big deal.
Hey, would you shut your mouth? Okay, here it is now. Steve? Steve?
Come on, baby. Yay! Yeah!
Oh, you sound like an ass on crutches.
What?
That's not how it goes.
All right, I want to just ask you, Bobby, if you can try. I know you guys are rehearsing. I want to ask you to draw yourself away from the rehearsal right now and address some of these questions. You're talking about freedom of religion. Now, the L.A. sheriff was out there, and what was their complaint?
Well, the L.A. sheriff, who knows what they're complaining about? L.A. County Sheriff...
What was the official complaint? Can you remember?
Well, who knows? It was probably a lot of gobbledygook.
I understand you have an opinion about it. Do you know what the official, actual complaint was?
Steve, you know, I think it was a lot of gobbledygook.
No, I gotta know what it was, okay?
I understand that.
Well, I think I know, Bobby.
No, excuse me, Margaret. No, you don't. I know. It was essentially that there was public indecency and there was a sound ordinance. We had a bonfire going, so they said we violated the fire code. In other words, it was everything they could possibly throw at us and the kitchen sink to keep us from practicing the Christian religion. I don't get it.
All right. There's not a lot of people listening right now that wouldn't agree with me when I say what I'm hearing in the background doesn't sound like a Christian...
I'm sorry? Steve?
Okay.
I don't know what we got to do. Could you... Hold on. I'm sorry, Phil.
I want you to talk to me.
I know. Gene, they're missing the cue. Yeah, get over there and get these kids. Get them squared away, will you? Yeah. Right. Okay. One, two.
God. They don't have any respect.
Yes, they will respect you, Steve, if you respect the entryway. I can't really talk about it.
If you respect the what?
The entryway. It's part of the fertility aspect.
All right, Bobby Dooley is with us here from the Western States Homeowners Association. We're discussing last year they had their Easter festival that was interrupted by a visit from the LA County Sheriff. I'm hearing you rehearsing another Easter festival this year. I'm hearing drums.
What is it? Does it freak you out or something?
Bobby, can I say something? I know that you and I have had our differences in the past, darling. I don't want to tell you that you can't do something, but what we're hearing on our end, sounds very animistic. It sounds tribal.
I don't think it's tribal. I think that's an insult. We are a homeowners association. This is every bit a homeowners association function. We have a bake sale. We are not only going to have the bake sale, then we have our chili. We are going to have as well some games, rolling the hoop, and the three-legged race. So what is so weird about that?
Well, it sounds like everything you're doing is going to be a traditional kind of afternoon picnic for a neighborhood, except what I'm hearing in the background here.
Steve, why do you keep missing the cue?
Oh, sorry. Wow.
All right, hold on for a minute. Phil Henry's show.
See, to me, that sounds like there's something going on there.
Well, that, to me, are you kidding? That sounds like the opening scene when you saw the King Kong. I saw King Kong just the other night.
All right, hold on. We're going to be with... Bobby Dooley and the rest of the Homeowners Association there on the world-famous Phil Henry Show in just a moment. But first, we have to take a break. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We are live and mobile on Listen Live. We are live and mobile on TuneIn as well. And hit up the online store, man, because we have the Rudy Canosa Je T'aime Lingerie T-shirts that are in. We have the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies that are in, perfect for those nights around the bonfire on the beach this coming summer. We have walrus skins. I'm kidding about that. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We have Bobby Dooley with us. Please remind me to finish the Burroughs story, because we were talking about my dad being a salesman, right?
I'm sorry?
General, do you remember?
Yes, you were talking about Burroughs, William Burroughs, who was the guy that wrote Naked Lunch.
Right, but I wanted to be the guy that told the story, okay?
Oh, that one, yeah. General, let Phil have his little story.
All right.
Hey, you know something? We don't have to do it. I'm just saying that, anyway, Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley online with us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. They have been practicing for the last night or two. They are practicing their Easter festival, which is a big thing out there. In years past, they've had a problem. They say that the freedom of religion, Bobby, I haven't really given you an opportunity to discuss this and to tell us what it is that you find most troubling about this sort of the appearance of the police and things like that.
Well, Phil, as I mentioned on your program last night, I said that, you know, what's happening now is that the freedom of the religion that we all enjoy in America, that is a tradition that goes all the way back to Christopher Columbus and even further, is now threatened by the secularism of the atheists, yeah. And so we're making a very strong, strong statement on behalf of Western Estates, where we want people to know we are very proud to celebrate Easter with everyone in the community.
Are there people in the community that are Jewish, or?
Oh, there are, yeah, but we send a letter out before we have the celebration, telling people that we... Steve?
Okay.
You're doing it really jacked up. You're not even doing it good. Anyway, I'm sorry. Yes, the Jewish people that we have here, we send a very nice letter to them saying, we understand that you're Jewish, and we don't want to interfere with that. We don't even know if we're interfering with it by even saying that that's what you are.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, if you say to someone who's Jewish, oh, are you Jewish? Is that interfering with the way their religion goes? I don't know.
No.
Well, okay, Phil, you don't have to go, no. You know.
I'm not trying to be a smartass, Ms. Dooley. I'm just trying to figure this out, you know. I'm trying to figure out, in your community, where you have these people...
These people, Phil, are all of our neighbors.
I understand, but they're not all Christians.
No, they're not. We invite our Jewish residents. We have one Muslim family, and we do tell them that we do expect them to at least come out and clean up.
To clean up. So you see what I'm saying?
No, Mr. Henry, we're not going to go down. You're not going to accuse me of racial bigotry. No way.
You don't know. We just tell them if they can come out and clean up, if that's what they want to do is clean up, or they can be a part of the Christianity of it.
Yeah, it's either way.
So either they're celebrating the Christian festival with you, or they're cleaning up.
Well, they don't have to be here if they don't want to. I mean, I can't imagine that anyone would consciously spit right into the face, you know.
Yeah.
See, Ms. Dooley, the only problem I have here...
Well, Phil, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I have filled in for you. You got a lot of problems with a lot of people.
Hey, finally, my wife really said it there. Hey, way to do it, you know.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Mr. Henry's making a good point.
No, he's not, Dickman.
Yeah, he is. What do you mean, yay, and all that?
All right, hold on. Thank you, bud, for coming to my defense. You know...
Well, what I'm saying, Phil, is that we are... Why are you standing here pulling it, Steve, with your hand down your pants? They're going into the second chorus.
Oh.
shoot. Yeah, all right. Yeah, good, good, Billy.
So, would you line them up better? Because they're all crooked and they're the face paint.
Face paint?
Yes, face paint. Steve, you take care of it. I got to talk to the guy. I'm sorry, Phil. I was going to have to talk to the man on the radio. Yeah, that's it. Steve? Hold on, Phil. Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, right here, when the drum break comes up, now the girls go into the squat. Yeah, right here. The girls are squatting?
Yeah.
Well, make sure the boys lay flat. Okay?
Can I ask a question?
Hold on, Phil. The boys should be laying flat on their backs, their noses in the air, and now the girls go into the squat. Yeah.
Hey, girl.
No.
Wait. Miss Dooley, I gotta ask you something.
Hold on, Steve. What?
I'm talking to you on the radio right now.
I understand that, Phil, but we got a real cluster, you know what?
Can I ask a question?
I'll ask the question. I'm a mother, and I just heard you say that the girls are going into a full squat.
Yes, the girls go into a squat with the boys laying on their backs. Oh, my God, did you think that they're squat? You know, you've got to really have a sewer pit for a mind.
Well, this is what I don't understand, and this is what Phil is trying to figure out. What is this celebration?
Can I just say one thing?
Go ahead.
Ms. Dooley, this is General Shaw.
Yes, hold on, General. I'm so sorry.
I understand.
Okay, now, Steve. Oh, you sound like a real clown. You know that, Steve? Why don't you put a big jumbo nose on?
You gotta try it. You do it better.
I could do that better in my sleep. Yes, General, I'm sorry.
Ms. Dooley, I understand what you're up against. I'm in the military, and I had occasion to be stationed in some rather exotic locales. And I am familiar with a fertility dance known as the dance of the mambo, or not the mambo, that was a dance, wasn't it?
Yes, the mambo was a dance.
All right, so this was the dance of the merengue. Well, that's a dance too. What's the animal?
Are you talking about the dance of the sloth?
There, yes, that's...
That's the fertility dance.
All right. Now, in the fertility dance, Phil, which is completely misinterpreted by Westerners, the young males of the village lay on their backs with their tongues out and their noses straight up in the air. And then the young women... All right, oh, wait. Hold the phone.
Well, Phil, it's not dirty. We swear to God. Don't we swear to God, General?
Yes, we swear to God it's not dirty.
The young men lay on their backs with their tongues out and their noses up in the air.
Yes, they're waiting to receive the squat. God.
Phil, you have to understand.
Wait, I can't have the... You don't have to go into a whole description of it, okay?
Phil, this is what you sounded like. You can't go into a description. You have to calm down because you're getting... Hold on. I'll do it, Steve.
I'll do it.
I don't know what you're supposed to say, but it sounds something like that, right?
Yeah, let me go get the lyric sheet.
Get the lyrics. Well, I don't need this, Phil, okay? I got two minks at home in heat. I'm kidding. That's a joke we're going to use.
But anyway, so in the dance, in the fertility dance of the tree sloth, the women circle the men, and then the man lays on his back and puts his... Here, I'll demonstrate.
Oh, my God, that is the vilest thing I've ever seen.
Well, what's wrong? All I am, I'm laying on the chair, and my head is propped up on a chair, so you...
Okay, thanks very much, okay? Thanks a lot. Bobby, you there? Okay, she's gone, too.
Yeah, I think they had a hang-up. They had a hang-up. They got to figure out... Because they got hung up on the second verse during a dance of the squat.
It's not the dance of the squat. You see what's going on here?
Phil, I didn't book her.
Well, I wanted... She's saying, this is a Christian thing?
Well, no, it's Easter. They draw some of their influence, I think, from the dance, from the holy dance of the fertility sloth. That's my understanding.
Well, I'll tell you something. If this is a... Bobby has made the point of emphasizing the Christian nature of this festival, and not only that, but she's made a point of emphasizing the freedom of religion and the family nature of this, and now they're into this fertility dance of the sloth where the guys are laying on their backs.
Yeah, but their heads are propped up on chairs.
What do you mean their heads are propped up on chairs? I'm going to find out what's going on here.
Phil, this is something you should have found out before.
I did. I called him up.
You called him up, Robert?
Yes, I did. I called up Ms. Dooley. I said, all right, Ms. Dooley, let's put our cards on the table. Let's put our cards on the table, and let's, you know, cut through the thin mustard, because we're skating on mustard, or not skating on mustard, but we're skating on thin ice. And I said, now, what's up? She said, it's the dance of the sloth. We paint the men orange. It's totally in keeping with the Easter celebration with an egg and an Easter bunny.
It's totally in keeping with...
Now, hold on, because I'm with you, Phil. What do you mean it's in keeping with the Easter bunny and your painted orange? What is that?
Well, that's what she said.
No, there's nothing... I've celebrated Easter my whole life. I've never painted myself orange. I'll tell you one thing that gets painted. Eggs.
Yeah, but in replacing the egg.
So the person is in place of the... I would like to really find out. I'd like to... I got to pin this down. I got to pin this ritual down and find out where it veers away from a civilized celebration and veers into a wild Lord of the Flies cacophony of violence and sex. Because,
I don't think we're going there.
Well, it's... Oh, really? Phil, I've seen it. I've been a witness to it. That's all I have to say.
A Lord of the Flies cacophony of violence and sex. We're going to be back here on the Phil Henry Show. All I wanted to do was talk about this woman's Easter festival, and we are in the middle of a wild thing here, man. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, online at TuneIn. Listen live tonight, live and mobile. We'll be right back. I was just talking to Nikki. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. St. Patrick's Day this year. I know, is St. Patrick's Day March 17th?
Yes.
What did Nikki say?
It is, yes. Okay, because that's the very first day that we're on the air on our new web platform, our new 9 a.m. show. So I can actually go out and get just stinking drunk that night.
Oh, great. You're going to be in great shape the next day.
So what? It'll be fantastic. As a matter of fact, what we ought to do is start the drinking at 9 a.m., because as an Irishman, isn't that what I'm expected to do?
Well, you know something, Phil? I don't think you're not going to be showing the best side of the great Irish people if you start sucking that stuff down at 9 a.m., blind, stinking, drunk at 9.
Woo! Yeah, but Mr. Henry knows what he's doing.
Well, I don't want to be throwing up by noon, but...
What, by the way, speaking of throwing up and not holding your liquor very well, what happened to drunk history?
Wait a minute. What is this not holding? What does that mean?
Well, you said you puked.
Yeah. Drunk history, the second season, I think, maybe Nikki said something to me about the second season, or somebody did. The second season is upon us, Drunk History on Comedy Central. And I am, I will let you know when we know when our episode is up, man, or when our episode starts. I wanted to go, in fact, to Hawaii because we did the episode of Drunk History in December, and then Derek Waters and the rest of the guys, the crew, went to Hawaii to interview a cat that is a musician who is almost my age. This dude is a Hawaiian musician who plays with a lot of bands. I think he plays with bands like, I'm just spacing now, man. I don't know. Do you know who I'm talking about, Nikki? The guy's a Hawaiian musician. He is now a permanent member of a band. He's way older than all the other guys. He's in his 50s,
no.
maybe even close to 60. And he was a session player, and the band said, you know what, do you want to join the band? And he said, okay. This cat is going to be interviewed. He's in one of the episodes of Drunk History. I got to find his name. Anyway, the guys went over to Hawaii, and Derek said... And there was a moment there where I was going to blow out a week and go to Hawaii and party, and then I thought that would be the height of irresponsibility.
Well, good that you actually, you know, resisted the temptation for a change.
Yeah, Phil, you can't, you know, that's nuts.
What do you mean for a change?
Well, you know, any chance you get, Phil, to go over to some place where, once again, you're going up a coconut tree.
Yeah, that reminds me about Professor Clayton said you told him to go up a coconut tree.
Will you give me a break with that? Did he bother you about that?
Well, he called up, yeah.
I never said anything to him about going up a coconut tree and getting a coconut with his feet. That's what he did. That's what the spin he put on it. I didn't do that. All right. Bobby Dooley and the rest of the crew, are they still hanging or what's going on?
Yeah, they're over on line two. I'm talking Bobby. This is Bobby, dear. Before we get you back on the air, well, you know what? I just want to ask you something here because I think it's very important to know. This is a Christian celebration?
Hold on, Margaret. All right, right here. The frenzy begins. Steve, you don't go to the you don't do that. If we can get Rudy Canoza, yeah.
Is Rudy over there?
Hold on, Phil. Get Rudy Canoza.
Okay, Bobby, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Margaret.
All right, we're just concerned that this is a supposed Western Christian festival.
How many times have I got to say it? You guys are breaking my... You're breaking... If I had a man's bag, you know, if I had a man's bean bag, you guys are breaking it, okay?
Well, that was crude.
Well, I'm sorry, but why don't you get off my back, Margaret? You're not me. You don't have my life. I'm so sorry for you.
You know what? I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah, are you going to go and take a you-know-what?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yes, and I'll make sure it's extra loud. I can't believe her.
Well, Margaret, don't go talking about Bobby. Okay, Bobby?
Yeah, hold on, Joe. Oh, you know something, Steve? I ought to have you run over. Get Rudy over here. Steve's carving it up, Phil.
Well, I certainly do hope that you have a successful Easter's...
What are you laughing at?
That if this is an Easter celebration, then I am... then my name is King Watani of the Tahitians, okay?
What? Okay, here's Rudy. Rudy?
Yes. Phil, it's Rudy Canoza. How are you doing?
Good.
I got called over because I'm in town. L.A.
What are they doing, Rudy?
Have them all do this.
Hey, y'all hear that? Start the drums again now.
Steve, don't yell it.
I'm yelling it because I want all these kids, all you kids line up. All right, everybody line up? Are you all lined up?
I think they are, Steve. Can you see that?
Steve, I see they're lined up, you know.
Okay, line up. One, two, and a 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, all right.
And you don't go, yeah, all right, because this is when the minister comes in with the Bible.
Right.
Now, what, Rudy, go ahead. All right, and Rudy.
La, 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 la.
No, that sucks. That sucks. That sucks. That sucks worse than what Steve was doing.
Boy, you got a pair on you.
Okay, can we talk?
Who's that?
Phil Henry, you been on the radio with me?
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, Phil, so we're going to do the very best we can to keep you happy and all the other pains in the ass that, you know, but I really, Steve...
Well, I don't like being called a pain in the ass.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, but there's only so much...
Okay, did we hang up on them?
No, she cut you off after she said you're a pain in the ass.
Oh, okay, well, that's great.
Well, you can't really blame her, Phil. I mean, there's only so much you're going to get out of the woman.
Oh, so you guys throw me to the wolves, huh? So I'm the guy asking all the questions that you want me to ask, and when it suddenly is going no place, well, gee, Phil, you got to understand.
Well, Phil, it's not like we, you know, we understand what you're up against. Canoza? How did she figure Canoza into that mess? I never figured Canoza for one of those people. Boy, that surprises me.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I thought Rudy'd be in there.
I don't know.
Well, it seems obvious to me. He does the ha-la-la-la, whatever that... However, that is sexual.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know.
What about the fact that it's the fertility of a sloth?
The what?
That's a sloth fertility.
Hey, what is this sloth fertility? What the hell is that? You're trying to tell... General, you were... Where were you?
Well, I was on the Cook Islands. I was doing a joint exercise with the Australian Land Forces under the direction of Major General Sir Henry Arthur... And we were doing a joint exercise on the Cook Islands, as I just mentioned. Well, anyway, that evening, I think one of the evenings when we'd bivouacked at the foot of Mount Ganalo, and I don't know if you... Do you know Mount Ganalo, Phil? Have you ever heard of it?
Never, no.
Well, that surprises me. I'm kidding. No one ever had. I never had. In fact, if I ever went back there, I probably would never find my way out again because that's how remote it was. But anyway, they brought in a few of the natives... for entertainment, because the cable went out.
What do you mean the cable went out?
What are you laughing at?
You had cable?
Yes, there was a I told him I needed cable. I wanted to watch the Cub game. Is there a problem?
Go ahead.
So anyway, they brought in a few of these people for kicks. We had a kava ceremony. Somebody lit... Well,
somebody lit what?
Someone lit up a bowl.
All right. Okay, so and that's the fertility festival. Where Bobby ever found that?
Well, I think she's mixing and matching and putting things and taking things away. And it's, I think it's disgusting. I really honestly do. I would never, I just don't, I think Easter should be Easter eggs, Easter bunnies. Yes, there is paint, but you paint an egg. You don't paint your face. Painting your face, I draw the line at, you know?
But about the good of paint, like body paint.
No, not even not body paint. And you think I'm going to talk to you about body paint? You really...
All right, folks. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show. So that was really interesting. Back with more. I think I can tell the Burroughs story and other things here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Tomorrow,
well, just people paint their bodies, but not their faces.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and certainly online and mobile at TuneIn as well. We're online and mobile at Listen Live. You go to our website, there's a place to listen to the show live. No BSP needed. This is a story that we uncovered. Now, I know...
Are you going to finish the story of the Burroughs, or do I have to go completely ape?
Margaret, I was the one.
No, I was the one that was going to tell the story.
I was the one that was going to tell a story, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Mr. Henry was. Not you. You people are talking like you're talking like you don't even smell when it comes out.
What? You know something, Bud? I'm the cleanest thinking person in the world, but when you try to say something, it comes out of your mouth like a bunch of little demons. You know, it flows out of your mouth a mixture of vomit and the devil. I don't know.
A mixture of vomit and the devil.
Yes, that's right. That's what I said. God.
Well, you know something, Margaret? The only thing that's demon-like around here is what you leave in that bathroom.
Ow!
That serves you right.
Boy, you did twist him.
I didn't twist him. I pinched him.
That hurt.
No, it didn't.
All right. So, anyway, welcome back, folks.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
I'm not doing anything about it. If you laugh at somebody, Bud, and you go, ha, 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 like that...
Yeah?
You got to expect that they're going to get pissed off.
Why? Because, man, because of the way you was going, ha, ha, ha. What are you talking about, man?
Bud, you know full well that you went, ha, 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 to piss people off.
No, I was just saying, ha, ha, ha. Hey, man, you know what? You're a liar, man. No, you're a liar, man. I'm telling the truth. You're a liar, man. You're going, ha, 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 because that's what...
Bud, hold on. No, I'll handle this. Bud, now listen. When you are looking at someone and you go, ha, 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 you know that you're trying to make them angry, right?
No, not really. I was just going, ha, 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 ha.
Well, why does it come out like a song?
What do you mean a song?
Why did it go...
Easy, General.
No, I've got this. Don't worry. Why did you go, ha, 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 ha? Why'd you do that?
Huh?
Hey, Bud.
No, I've got this. Bud, I'm going to hold my temper for the first time in my life. I'm going to hold my temper. Why did you go, ha, 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 ha?
General, I don't know what you're saying. You sound almost like your mind has been wrecked. You know?
I'm telling you.
General, just go walk it off.
I got to go walk it off.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing to keep from crying, Bud. You ever heard that old saying? I'm laughing to keep from crying.
I'm walking it off, Bud. Just so I don't have to kill you. Save me from a homicide charge.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there like you're too stupid to understand what anybody's saying. You were mocking Margaret. That's why she pinched you. When you went, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, mocking her? Yeah, now I know what you mean.
Well, why the hell didn't you admit it when I said to you...
Oh, General, no, hold on.
I said to you, Bud, you went, ha, 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 and you said you didn't know what I was talking about, that I sounded... like I was about 300 yards of a mental deficient Special Olympic. I'm going to go practice it. If you go, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, you go practice that, General.
I think the General needs to be.
Don't say it, man. All right, welcome back to our show. Burroughs.
Yes.
All right, as I was saying at the beginning of the show, My dad was a salesman, and my father sold business machines for most of his life. He sold a lot of things, and he was a very good salesman. And one of the things he used to say is, because we were talking about what it's like to go out into the world and have to deal with the world when you're making a living, and being a salesman is about as man, that's about as in the front lines as you can be in the whole free enterprise game. Those guys are front line. They're right there. They're having to sell someone, trying to get someone to buy something. And my dad used to say, boy, what a day. I'd say, well, what happened, Dad? Oh, I went into some place and there's some dumbass there and some overalls. And he didn't know what the hell I'm talking about, you know. And
so your father had to pretend like he liked some guy in overalls.
Well, I mean, he had to pretend like he liked some guy that was a dumbass, I think, more than anything. I don't think he cared that the guy was in overalls. But he worked for a time for Burroughs. Burroughs was a business machine company, too, and it was a big one. I would say that it rivaled. There was a period there where Burroughs, the Burroughs Adding Machine Company, I think it was called, rivaled NCR, might even have made a run at IBM at some point. And that was the Burroughs family, of which William S. Burroughs, the writer of Naked Lunch, the beat writer, the friend of Jack Kerouac, the friend of Allen Ginsberg, that was his family. He was a ski-on.
Yeah, what do you say a guy's a ski-on? Is he like the heir?
Yeah, he's like an heir to the fortune. And William Burroughs, however, the family disowned him.
Now, they disowned him after he wrote the Naked Lunch book.
Now, let me ask you, I just came back. You people didn't notice I've been sitting here. And
where'd you get the popsicle?
I went out and I bought it before the show. No, you can't have this. I bought this as mine.
Ain't that part of the show stash?
No, we don't buy popsicles. Can we have one?
No, you may not have one. I bought them for me.
Oh, what a baby. We can't even have one.
No, all right. Go get your popsicle.
Not now.
Man, this is damn good.
Cut it out. Tell him not to do that, Mr. Henry.
He's entitled to enjoy his popsicle.
You like orange popsicles, bud?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this is delicious.
All right, General, would you knock it off, okay?
Just trying to get back at this jackass. When you were saying ha 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 ha, and you didn't want to listen to me, now I'm saying to you, ha 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 ha.
General, you should go in for a thorough diagnostic.
I had a... Hey, watch it now.
Yeah, so William Burroughs was the heir, one of the heirs, to the Burroughs Adding Machine fortune. But when he wrote Naked Lunch, which is truly... I read that book. It's a crazy hallucination. What it is it's a fantasy based upon a... It's a fantasy in which a police state is using junkies and drug dealers to extract information, life force, sexual energy from the various citizenry and victims of their evil, you know, empire. It's like a Kafka novel set in a hallucination. And
what that mean?
I can't describe it. Okay.
Well, you talk about Franz Kafka. I know all about him. He was what did they call him?
A writer.
There you go. He was a writer.
Yeah, that's what he was.
Man, I'll tell you, these double stick popsicles are great.
Cut it out, will you?
Will you knock it off, General? So, William Burroughs was the author of this incredible book, Naked Lunch, which, as was the case with so many of the beat writers in the 50s, this book got banned.
Well, of course it got banned, Phil. It had some of the most vulgar and vile imagery in it. And I am artistically very liberal, and I know that we're talking about the beatniks. So maybe I want to rethink what I just said.
By the way, you don't want to call him Beatnik. That's a Time magazine.
What?
Beatnik was a Time magazine word. They called themselves Beats. B-E-A-T-S. The Beats.
Yeah, I bet they did.
That's pretty good, Dickman. I like that one.
Mm-mm.
Boy, these popsicles.
All right, guys, please. So, yeah, so the Beats, man, and that was William Burroughs. And So there's the Burroughs Adding Machine Company story. Now, coming up, we have a couple of stories that are fascinating. One of them has to do with new laws about e-cigarettes, and we don't care about that. What we discovered, what I discovered, and what I told you about a few weeks back was the, I think I mentioned this actually on Facebook. I don't know if I talked about it on the air. The ability, ladies and gentlemen, for you, if you were of a mind, to smoke marijuana in a restaurant in California until they just passed these laws. I'll tell you all about it when we come back. But up to the point where these laws were passed now restricting e-cigarettes, you could smoke dope in a restaurant.
What?
Yeah, well, Mr. Henry talked about it.
We're going to get Jeff Dowder on the line with us to discuss all of the ramifications about the new e-cigarette laws. When we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, we're live and mobile at philhendryshow.com on Listen Live, live and mobile on TuneIn. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. All right. This is a story that is pretty interesting. Jeff Dowder is going to join us to talk about, do we have him at the same time now?
Yeah, Doug, he had another commitment.
Okay, man, take it easy, will you?
What is it with you, bud? You're never connected.
I'm just trying to be heard over all of the cacophony of it.
Well, now, get a load of the big word you're using, huh? Look at the big brain there on Bud.
Yeah, I remember that from Pup, from, was it Pup Fiction?
No, it wasn't Pup Fiction. No, it wasn't.
Well, what was the name of the movie, man?
It was Pup Fiction.
No, it wasn't Pup Fiction.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was not.
What was it?
I'm not going to tell you.
What was the name of the movie, bud?
The movie that I saw that had John Travolta was Pup Fiction.
No, it was not Pup Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
Yay! Atta baby.
So, big deal. It's an honest mistake.
Yeah, I guess it's an honest mistake if you've got, like, you know, one brain, you're one brain shy of what the rest of the human race, well, never mind.
Man, you butchered that up, Miss Henry.
Yeah, Phil, you had him where you wanted him, and you let him get away, stumbling over your tongue like you're some stumble bum rummy.
Thank you very much for that.
Well, I'm just calling it the way I see it.
All right, so anyway...
Oh, you were going to say that the general sounds like a rummy.
No, I was not going to say that. No, I was not. All right, the Phil Hendry Show here, philhendryshow.com. Now, I think Dowder's on the line, right? And he'll be talking with us about the changes in the e-cigarette laws. And he'll be talking with us here about how that affects not just tobacco smoke, but how does that affect the use of e-cigarettes when it comes to marijuana? That's right. You can buy these filters in the medical marijuana dispensaries, and these have hash oil in them, or they have some type of cannabis.
Well, what do you mean hash oil? This is what?
Yeah, it's processed that way.
So you can have. What about the marijuana? What about that?
Well, it's cannabis sativa. Cannabis is the active ingredient. So it's either it's a hash oil or it's some kind of an oil or a rosin that is in the filter. And then you use this, you smoke it, et cetera. Now, the thing that is very interesting about this is that smell, because I have witnessed people lighting up these cannabis e-cigarettes, and I've watched them smoke these in restaurants, and nobody, I mean nobody, is any the wiser.
You got to be putting me up. See, that's the part I don't understand.
I'm telling you, no one. Now, the city of Los Angeles, and let's get Jeff Dowder on the line with us here from Temple City, California. Jeff is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. He also operates, right now he's operating Dowder's Snow Patrol, which is a snow plow for the city of, Huntington Beach.
I got that squared away.
All right, you're going to have to speak up a little bit, Jeff.
Yeah, Mr. Ray, I said I got that squared away, too, and...
So you did get it squared away.
Yeah, we got it pretty well squared away, yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad you got it squared away.
All right. I mean, I realize I'm being redundant, but I'm,
What do you mean redundant?
You mean redundant?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I meant redundant. What happened, I think what happened is the son came home from Seattle and saw his parents and just went, something's got to give. Boom, 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 boom. Okay,
What are you talking about? Are you,
He's talking about the murder in San Juan.
Ain't that what you wanted to say about?
No, I want to talk about the e-cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, I can do both, Mr. Henry. I can go kind of like that joke that Mr. Wireman was telling yesterday about, you know, I can swing both ways so long as there ain't no jockstrap. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, that was a very crude joke, and it doesn't really benefit us, you repeating it.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you gotta get it, clean it up a little bit.
All right, I mean, that's fine.
Okay, we are talking here with Jeff Dowder, and where are you right now, Jeff?
Right now I'm just covering for a friend of mine at the pet store in Studio City Pet Store.
You're covering for a friend? Oh, you're working the counter?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We are talking with Jeff Dowder here. Well, what are you laughing at? I'm not laughing at anything.
I know it's funny. It is kind of funny that I'm sitting here at a pet store and I do teach mechanical physics at Caltech, and I've got a lot of skills. But a friend of mine just said, you know, can you cover for me while I go out and get some Red Man? I said, yeah, you know, so.
So your friend just went off to the store.
You want to get a bag of Red Man?
Yeah, that's all he's going to just go get a bag of Red Man.
Okay. Well, we're fine with that, Jeff. I mean, it's fine. All right. So let's talk about this situation with the e-cigarettes in the city of Los Angeles, and how all of this is going to play out. What the prohibitions are. What are the, what are the parameters of this new set of laws that will make it more difficult, I guess, to smoke these electronic cigarettes. Where's the story, bud?
Right there.
No, man. I mean, we printed the story off, I thought. Anyway, here it is on the screen. Can you tell us a little bit, bud, about... Or excuse me, Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, I mean, what you're dealing with here is the approval of some sweeping e-cigarette restrictions in Los Angeles. And I think it's going to happen across the country if it not now already has been happening. The city council approved these regulations. They would treat e-cigarettes like conventional cigarettes after one of the really pretty personal debate. It was a 14-0 vote. They outlawed vaping. That's what they call it, the practice of inhaling the vapor produced by e-cigarettes in most work sites and in the public place and in the parks and in the recreation beach, in the beachal areas, you know.
What is a beachal area?
I'm sorry, I mispronounced it. Beach, in the parks and in the recreational, I meant to say the recreational area of a beach. Lawmakers voted to continue allowing e-cigarettes use in so-called vaping lounges where patrons can try out the various e-juices. Yeah, I'll bet they can.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I got some e-juice for them to try out. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, that's great, man.
All right, I'm sorry, but...
Can we just get the information and leave a lot of this crudity to later on?
Well, I'm not trying to be crude or anything, but I think that we're talking about a political fight here, Ms. Gray, and I really think people need to choose sides on this, because even if you don't smoke cigarettes, there's nothing harmful about a vape. And people that are vapes, I'm a vape, and so many of the people I know are vapes. And
what is a vape? Is that somebody who uses an e-cigarette?
Well, a vape is someone who not only uses an e-cigarette, but uses the e-cigarette for cannabis purposes. And as a vape, and as a very, you know, I'm a very militant vape, and...
Yeah, but you're going to be a vape, you got to be vape all the way.
Exactly. So when they outlawed vaping, and they told the vape population of the city of Los Angeles, you can take it and pound it sideways up left, that threw the gauntlet down for so very many of us.
All right, so the vaping lounges, but all other places illegal.
Yes, sir, and they narrowly defeated a push by the e-cigarette industry to let the practice continue in 21 and over establishments like a bar and a nightclub. So, I mean, that to me seemed reasonable. The anti-vaping, and really this is the anti-smoking lobby that hasn't even bothered to educate itself on the science of this. They just went ahead and just banned it like a whole bunch of, like the fascists that they are.
What about the smoking of marijuana?
What about it, man? I mean, it's illegal, you know?
Okay, so the reason why I brought this up is this their way of making sure that not only are cigarettes or these e-cigarettes using tobacco banned, but should there be somebody attempting to, you know, blast up some cannabis, that they can keep that from happening as well?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, you bring up a very good point. I don't want to make no comment about, you know, nothing, but let's just say that I know somebody that smoked it liberally, e-marijuana or e-cannabis cigarettes, and they, just like you said, man, they're doing it in restaurants, and it's everything there's, you know, it's everything that you can do.
All right, it says here, Councilman Joe Busciano spoke of relatives' decision to turn to e-cigarettes after years of smoking. Council President Herb Wesson, in the most passionate speech of the day, described his decade-long addiction to cigarettes, a habit he told his colleagues would almost certainly kill him one day. Wesson said he began smoking because he wanted to be cool. The debate brought to light the strong views on each side of the e-cigarette debate. This guy, Wesson, he brought up his decades-long addiction to cigarettes. What's that got to do with anything, in the real world?
Yeah, well, see, that guy Wesson, and when I was talking to one of the reporters, I said, have you ever used any hash oil? He goes, no. I said, well, maybe they ought to use some Wesson oil, you know, Mr. Henry, because of this guy Wesson.
Right. What did that refer to?
You know, the hash oil and how his name's Wesson.
All right, so his name is Wesson, Wesson Oil. We get that, but what has that got to do with anything?
I mean, are you kidding? You know?
Yeah, it's Wesson Oil.
All right, hold on for a minute. I don't want to get bogged down, bud, okay?
You don't want to get Wesson Oil.
I get what Wesson Oil is. I don't see how it's relative to what we're talking about. Jeff Dowder with us as we discuss the e-cigarette ban here in the city of Los Angeles, and most likely the e-cigarette ban that is going to be spreading across this country, and I'm sure it's in many, many other locales, how it's going to affect the smoking of medical marijuana. And also, we will talk a little bit about this murder in San Juan Capistrano, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Isn't this a light, lilting song? Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And philhendryshow.com. Jeff Dowder with us from Pasadena as we discussed briefly there the e-cigarette ban in Los Angeles and elsewhere. I don't know. Do you know any other cities, Jeff, right now where it's being banned?
Well, I mean, e-cigarette's not being banned.
No, but I'm sorry, but the use of it?
Yeah, it's being in a lot of other cities. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, give an example of some of the cities.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Probably would be in Seattle.
No, but where definitely is it being banned or being discussed?
Yeah, it's being banned probably in Seattle and.
Well, do you know that for a fact?
No, I do not, Mr. Henry.
Then why do you say that?
Well, because it stands to reason that Seattle. I mean, Seattle is one of those cities that's got its nose, you know, way up its own. You know, if I could say, up its own up its own a-hole, you know.
Okay, that's fine. You're giving me an opinion. I wanted to know if you know for a fact.
Well, I'd be willing to bet, you know.
It doesn't matter, Jeff, if you're willing to bet. Do you know for a fact?
I'd be willing to bet it.
Do you understand what we're saying to you, Doubter? We're asking you, do you know for a fact?
Have you been to Seattle, General?
I've been to Seattle, yes. It's got nothing to do with it. Do you know for a fact?
Yeah, because they got their nose so far up the arsehole, it ain't even funny, you know. And
okay, look, Jeff. In other words, you don't know.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
No, you don't know, man. If you don't know, you don't know.
I'd be willing to bet, though, if you want to bet on something, I would be willing to bet that there are a fair number of cities that are going to enact these kinds of laws. Which cities they are, we're going to have to wait and see, and comment. At that time.
Can you hold on, Mr. Rennie? I'm giving the cockatoos their evening feeding. That's okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, but we got to get moving. We got a couple of stories.
I understand that, yes, sir. Just giving the see, these are tropical birds. Yeah, okay. Okay, here you go. Here you go, yeah.
What kind of birds are those?
I think I just said cockatoo, man. I mean, do I hear an echo in here?
Oh, yeah.
The cockatoo is,
that's the one on the Fruit Loops box, isn't it?
No, the Fruit Loops box one is a What is the one on the Fruit Loops box?
Is that a Macau or something like that?
Macau? Man, that's a country.
Sure, Mr. Henry. They named it after a country.
No, it's the one on the Fruit Loops box with the big beak.
Yeah, that's the Fruit Loop. That's a parrot.
That ain't a parrot.
Yeah, it is.
No, that's not a parrot.
No, on the Fruit Loops box.
The bird on the Fruit Loops, I'm looking at one right now, man. Okay? I'm looking at it right now. And
why don't you ask it? They know how to talk.
Oh, wow, man. Because they know how to talk doesn't mean they know...
Bud, because they can talk doesn't mean they can tell you where they're from.
What?
Because they can talk doesn't mean they can tell you where they're from.
No, Bud, the bird, you have to train it to talk.
Yeah, I know, but then can't it say stuff?
Yeah, it can say stuff, man, but it's not originating with the bird mind. It's got to come out of the mind of a human, and then it goes into the bird mind.
You're making it way more confusing.
Look, Bud, the bird, it's for a parrot to talk, it's like a trick. It's like a dog that walks on its hind legs. Have you ever seen a dog do that?
Yeah, I seen it on TV one time.
All right. Dogs can't do that unless they're trained to do that. Parrots are the same, and minor birds and birds like that, they have to be trained.
Yeah, but then what are they? Okay, you train them, but how do they know what to say?
You tell them what to say.
Well...
Yeah, all right, man. I mean, you could say to it, hey, okay, you come from Canada. Say that. You come from Canada, right? And you'd come into the store here, and it would be going, hey, yeah, I'm from Canada. Are you trying to tell me, man? You'd go out and say, yeah, I just heard the bird tell me it's from Canada. Would you say that?
If it said it came from Canada, I'd say, well, is it true?
Well, who would you ask that of?
The bird.
Bud, I'm going to have you put in a nut house, okay? I think I need to have you committed.
Yeah, no kidding, man. 72-hour observation, man. 72-hour observation.
Yeah, you should be observed, too.
Bud, you can't possibly be that stupid. The bird doesn't know where it's from.
If I go into the store where Jeff is...
I've had these conversations with him before. You know.
Look, Dickman, I, you know me. I don't give up on you, Bud, because I know somewhere inside that empty brain of yours is a mind that's hiding, but we can find that mind. Your mind hides in the darkness of your head, in the darkness of your skull.
All right, thank you.
So anyway, I'm looking right at it, and this is a Fruit Loop bird here. And
we're not going to call it a Fruit Loop bird. Somebody, what's it called? There,
a toucan.
Okay, Nikki just said it's a toucan.
What?
It's called a toucan.
That's it, Nikki. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
A toucan.
What's that?
The bird that he has.
The bird here is called a toucan. Whatever toucan do.
you're an idiot, man.
No, Bud, you're the idiot. It's called a toucan.
Yeah, so the next time you buy a box of Fruit Loops, which I know you do on a regular basis, you know.
No, I don't. No, I don't, man.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You eat kid cereal, man. You might as well tell people.
Okay, I'm all through with this jackass conversation that you guys are having. I want to move on to a very, very sad story. And this is this kid that was arrested in his parents' killing in in San Juan Capistrano. I say kid. He's a college student. And this is the Sachs family. What can you tell me about this, Jeff?
Well, you know, the OC is a place that has sort of been my second home for a long time, and although I don't profess to know the upper crust area of the OC, I come like where you come from, Mr. Henry. I come from the Gap, you know, San Gabriel Valley, but I've been going down to Newport Beach, Huntington Beach, Laguna, and places like that ever since, you know, when I first started to be in the breathing air, you know, when I wasn't, in other words, after I got out of being fed by my mom and I became an air breather. I shouldn't say an air breather.
You mean after you were born?
Yeah, after I was born. It's a very weird place, man. You know, the OC is a place where you often wonder, you know, well, what, you know, what's next? You know, a lot of high-profile murders. Now, this kid, he's the 19-year-old son of the Sachs family. His name's Ashton Sachs. And his dad, Bradford Sachs, and his mom, Audra Sachs, well, guess what? They was found dead on February 9th inside a 9,000-square-foot San Juan Capistrano home. Can you feature that? 9,000 square feet, you know?
How big is that? Is that pretty big?
That's huge, man. That's huge. That's a big damn house, okay? You know.
Yeah, it's big.
It's moderate size. I wouldn't say that it's that big.
Well, what would you call a big house?
Phil, I've been in some homes that are 20,000 square feet.
Well, all right. I mean, you're talking about some... You're talking about Palm Beach and where the Kennedys... Not, but for a Southern California upper-middle class or, you know, upper-middle class family, that's pretty big.
I'll give you that, but I have, as I said, I've seen bigger.
That's what she said. Well, I apologize.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
I apologize, Mr. Henry. Mr. Henry?
Yeah?
Ms. Gray, I apologize.
All right, I accept your apology.
Yeah, I apologize. Okay?
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
I mean, you guys, you teed it up, though.
Whether I teed it up or not, we accept your apologies.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what about this kid?
Well, this Ashton Sachs, they arrested him. He was living in Seattle, not living at home. But this was a really terrible, terrible thing. There were two teenage girls. They was fine, but then they arrested the kid. So, and there were, they found no signs of forced entry. That's always what they're going to say. Hey, guess what? Inside job. I'm Jeff Dowder, and this is the crime. I mean, I'm not. Would it be okay if I locked out like this is the crime report?
I don't want you to do that, okay? I'm listening to chipmunks in the background or whatever the hell that is.
No, that's the toucan.
Well, okay, this pet store is driving me ape. I thank you very much. We're going to have to let you go, Jeff.
I'm sorry. I'm still waiting for my friend Brand to come back with the red man, so I don't know.
All right. Thank you very much, okay?
Yeah. Oh, hey, and Mr. Henry, there's another one.
Okay,
Well, he was going to say something.
I don't care if he was going to tell me that I'd hit the Irish sweepstakes. It was driving me nuts.
Well, why don't you tell these people before you get... I don't know how many times I have to say this.
Yeah, Margaret's always saying, why don't you tell the people before they come on the air not to be around wild animals or in an area where you're going to hear, you know...
I can't control necessarily where our guests are going to be. I understand what you're saying. I tell them we're going to be on the air, so make sure that you keep the background noise to a minimum. But when you're talking to people who are not professional broadcasters, that doesn't mean too much to them. They figure, okay, I'm in a room, and I guess you can't really hear, you know, I can hear them fine.
Yeah, they're not professional broadcasters or nothing like that.
Oh, I see, like you are, huh?
Yeah, yeah, I am. I'm way more professional than Dowder. He's sitting there with a chipmunk.
Well, I don't know what he was sitting there with the pet shop there. See, that the thing that bothered me about that, Bud, is that he said that he took over for his friend.
Well, yeah, he's going to be at home.
Right, but then his friend said, "Hey, can you cover for me while I go get some Red Man?" And it happens to be right at the time that I'm interviewing him. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay. All right, coming back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, some really weird stories here. Two charged with enslaving an Ohio woman. They are found guilty. Two people charged with enslaving an Ohio woman and saving arms for 40 years and counting. Dr. Frank Jobe, whose passing we noted on the program last night, kind of an interesting article here on Dr. Frank Jobe and the number of careers that he saved with this groundbreaking surgery. Where he was transplanting a tendon from the elbow into the... from the arm to the elbow to the arm, or...
The elbow to the brain?
Yeah, something like that. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Or nothing at all.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Live and mobile at Listen Live, live and mobile at TuneIn. Beijing-bound flight.
This is fascinating here.
Beijing-bound flight. Art Griego is going to join us here in a moment. And General Shaw, you certainly can join in this discussion. A Beijing-bound flight from Malaysia missing.
This is a very interesting case. I haven't heard of anything like this since the Twilight Zone, which, of course, is a fictitious program. The Twilight Zone that I did see where the plane went missing.
Well, all right. And then we also have the Bermuda Triangle. But this is an actual story here tonight, folks. And I'm giving you the news as of 13 minutes ago. A Malaysia Airlines flight carrying 239 people from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing is missing. And a search and rescue operation has been launched. Now, online with us as well from Santa Monica Airport, a man that we often bring on when it comes to aviation and so forth. And tonight, I know you're having a small craft exhibition. Art Griego. Hello, Art. How are you?
Well, good evening, Phil. It's a very, very tense night tonight, that's for sure.
What do you think is going on with this flight?
Well, I agree with the general. It's an interesting conundrum. This is a Boeing 777. It's got, I think you said it's carrying 227 passengers. This is not a small aircraft. And in general, I know your experience with Air Force. What would you say, you know, that so much of our time is spent trying to tamp down these rumors about alien abduction and what do you call the Bermuda Triangle?
Well, that, you see, that's a very good point, Art, and I've been privy to a great many Air Force reports, and I've certainly been privy to a great many panels where we've discussed the possibility when you do see UFOs and this kind of thing.
Yeah, and so I right now the jury's out, Phil, but you are absolutely right. I've been monitoring this. This Malaysia Airlines flight, 239 people is missing, and a search and rescue operation has been mounted.
What?
What?
Well, he said mounted.
That's okay, bud. Don't worry about it.
He can say mounted when we're talking about...
I'm sorry, did I make a mistake?
No, not at all. Gentlemen, my question to you would be this. If you lose contact with an aircraft, isn't that simply the fact that you've lost radar contact? Isn't it then safe to assume the aircraft is down somewhere?
Well, you want to take that, Art? You want to throw it to me?
I'll go ahead and lob it to you, and then you can fire it back at me.
All right. Could you restate what you said, Phil?
If you lose radar contact with an aircraft, isn't that pretty much because the aircraft is down? The plane has either landed somewhere or it's crashed.
Well, I think that's a very negative view of what you... we're talking about the possibility, Phil, and only the possibility that it was sucked into a vacuum or a vapor. I understand what you're saying, but I think we've dismissed for too long the idea that a tear, if you will, or a rip in the fabric of the dimension we live in. And, Art, I'll go ahead and lob it over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, General Phil. Yeah, I agree with the General. If there is a tear in the skirt of, not the skirt, but if there's a rip in the socks of reality, what am I saying? If there's a
tear in the dimensional...
Yes, if there's a tear in the but I'm trying to liken it to.
Well, if there's a tear in the rear end of the pants of. I'm sorry, I was coughing, Phil. If there's a tear in the rear end of the pants of reality.
Yes.
Uh huh.
Well, I mean, Henry, you can.
By the way, I don't like being called Henry. Okay.
I'm sorry, Phil. Phil, you can laugh.
Well, you gentlemen are saying there's a tear in the rear end of the pants of...
I would hope that you gentlemen will be a bit more sober. There's a very real possibility that 239 people have lost their lives.
I'm sorry. That's a very good point. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Phil, so, you know, have a little respect.
Hey, don't tell me to have respect. You guys are talking about a tear in the pants of reality. What's that got to do with anything?
Wow, get a load of you getting all bent out of shit. What's your problem?
What's your problem? Why don't you tell me what you mean by that?
I'm telling you, Phil, a very standard theory that is accepted by every ufologist, every metaphysician, and anyone that has ever breathed the vapors of the rare Nwanda plant. We all know that it's possible that our dimension melds into the parallel brain of another dimension, at which point the realities flip and we become almost a cross archetype.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
I said, yeah, I agree with it.
I ain't buying it. I'm not buying it because I don't have enough money to buy it. And if I did have the money to buy it, I would not buy it unless I've seen the price come down on whether I'm going to buy it or not.
You know what, bud? You are good with just, I don't have enough money. Read that as I don't have the brains.
All right, guys, Margaret made a very good point. If you clowns are trying to take me down Ha Ha Avenue here, with something that is deathly serious.
Phil, I'm not going. The last guy that went ha 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 was that one right there, and I tried to keep his. I held his feet to the fire, and you let him get away. The little.
Oh God, it was ha ha la la.
Yeah, right there. See? Do you hear what you did?
We're not going back to ha 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 ha. Okay. I agree with Margaret. I think it's a terribly serious thing, and since neither one of you knuckleheads have a better idea, I believe the plane has crashed.
All right, if it's crashed, where?
Well, there's a good question, Phil. Where?
Well, I mean, this is a part of the world.
Yeah, where, Phil?
Well, you're going to let me finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
Where's it crashed?
This is a part of the world.
Yeah, where did it crash?
Will you guys let me finish? This is a part of the world that has thick jungle, thick growth of trees and this is a part of the world where an individual, an aircraft even, can get lost for years if it lands in the middle of all of that forest, all of that rainforest, very, very remote from any settlements. And I believe that if this aircraft went down in an area like that, even a 777, even a plane as big as that, it's going to be a while before they find it. Now, doesn't the black box, General, have this transponder we hear so much about?
Yes, there's a transponder, and if it is activated, obviously it is sending a radio signal. Now, you have to triangulate that, and right now the question is, have they been able to pick up this signal, and do they recognize it as the transponder signal from the aircraft, or is it just a beeping noise? That they, you know, I suppose if it's a beeping noise.
Well, in On the Beach, if you saw that film, there was a Coke bottle that one of the humans that since died from the radiation had put on the ledge, and the wind blew the Coke bottle, and it was hitting the telegraph key, the Morse key, and it was going beep, 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 but it didn't make any sense.
Yeah. So what about it?
Well, if you've got the same, well, there's no radiation, but the if there are humans... If there are humans that aren't too bright, then you could have that, yeah.
In other words, if we got humans that are
You guys are about as much fun. You're about as much help as the man said, as a G-string in a snowstorm. You know that?
Boy, Henry, you really love to lord it over people, don't you?
Well, Phil, I did the best I could.
Thank you very much.
Well, what's with you?
Hey, come on, General. Give me a break, will you? Beep, 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 beep.
But, you know... Did the best they could.
Yeah, so they tell me. World famous Phil Henry Show. I'm telling you right now that that's a very serious... I'll tell you what happened. The plane has crashed somewhere. God knows where. They'll find it. But it is off of the radar because the plane is down. And it's a terribly, terribly sad situation. And I hope to God that... I hope somebody has survived. It's highly, highly doubtful. But we'll see what the black box has to say. And first thing they have to do is locate it. There must be some kind of radio signal that is being transmitted. As of this hour, though, this Beijing-bound flight from Malaysia, missing. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and this hour, really exciting stuff, like the time change.
Oh, that is interesting.
Are you kidding?
Phil, the time change is important.
Time change is important, but beyond that, there's an article here about how it's bad for your health. Well, you know what? Suck it up, you know?
Yeah.
If they think that I'm not going to go back to daylight savings... They're high on a mixture of nitrous oxide and jet fuel.
What does that mean anyway? Do you know people that actually huff that stuff?
Yeah, get a load of you, huff.
Well,
yeah, as in the Huff Post. You know, there's a reason why they call it the Huff Post.
Oh, really? Is that because they huff over there?
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Yeah, we do, Mr.
Thank you. All right, so. Yeah, the time change is coming up on Sunday. We're going to have a debate here. I wanted to have a debate. I wanted to sculpt a debate. I wanted to create a debate, if you will, that would liven up the last hour of the program. We have Bobby Dooley returning to discuss with us freedom of religion and their Easter festival that they will be having in a few weeks that has been criticized by some in the Homeowners Association that she's the president of as being pagan, as having elements of Wicca, as being a frenzied fertility rite, and I'm quoting directly. The L.A. County Sheriff has been out there, and yet Ms. Dooley insists it is a completely Christian and traditional Easter celebration. Now, you can judge. I heard, you know, tribal drums.
Well, Phil, I think it's wrong to judge in the way that you're judging. You know, we have to be open-minded to the brilliant cultures that surround us in this world. I'm so excited. Frank and I will be traveling, as you know, to Fiji later in the spring. We will be visiting the various villages and the chiefs and the so on and so forth that you did. I'm very excited about it.
Well, that's great. You know, go visit the chiefs.
What do you mean you're going to visit the chiefs?
We're going to visit the chiefs in the different villages.
They get a chief in a village?
Yes, they have chiefs in the village. Where have you guys been? It's a village with the people in Fiji.
All right, no, I understand that, but I must say that I take great exception. Well,
you take great exception to what?
Yeah, you tell him, General. General talked about this with me.
Oh, did you clear this with Bud?
I didn't clear anything with Bud, but I did. I opened my mind to Bud on this.
Yeah, and I believe it's a very interesting point.
Well, I just feel that, as you know, Phil, because you've traveled to Fiji, women are expected to show deference to the chief.
Yes, it's a very traditional thing. Do you want to explain it?
No, you go ahead, because I don't want anyone thinking that I butchered it alive.
When you meet the chief, if you're a female, you are to get on your knees and you crawl backward. I'm not kidding.
Crawl backwards?
Yes, you crawl backwards. Now, a lot of the chiefs down there don't make you do that. You have to show a little bit of deference, and once they see that you're willing to do it, then they go, okay, you know, that's fine. But there's a very specific way, but I think it's both men and women.
And you're crawling?
Crawling, yes.
All right. Now, the reason, thank you, Phil, I'm glad you, I have a problem with a white woman.
Well... Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me, General?
I'm not saying anything.
Well, what about a black woman?
No, a Western woman is what I mean to say.
Yeah, General's talking about a lady that comes from America.
I've got a problem with one of our American women. Yes, white, but yes, there are black women, too. But just the idea of a white woman getting on her knees to some heathen king.
All right, take it. General, you are showing a side to yourself, your age, your generation.
I'll thank you not to lecture me, Phil. I know what I'm saying, and I know my mind on this.
Well, you would have been better off if you would have said just a Western woman.
Well, that's what I mean.
Well, then quit saying white women.
Well, it's a catch-all phrase.
Yeah.
I just have a problem with our fine Western American women getting on their hands and knees to some pig king. There, I said it.
You know, I think you're being really unfair. You really are.
Well, show me the error of my ways.
Well, first of all...
Here we go.
Hey, first of all, they're very friendly people. You go, it's a tradition. You don't have to go, but they'll say, we're going to go meet the village king or the village chief, and you can stay at the hotel or wherever the hell you are, but it's a tradition to go and meet the chief of the village where you are, and you bring him a kava root, and you say hello, and he says hello to you. The guy, he's done it a million times. It's a tourist thing, man. That's all it is.
Well, then what's with all this crawling around like you're crawling on your hands and knees like the pig king? Well,
I don't think you should call him the pig king.
I'm not saying he's a pig, but they worship a pig. They worship the head of a pig on a stake, don't they?
Yeah, in Lord of the Flies they did. What are you talking about, man?
Well, I'm not familiar.
You gotta get more familiar with it.
You're the guy that's been telling them all this horse dung. So yeah, what about it, Margaret?
Well, we're going to be going to Fiji, and we'll be enjoying it, and I think it'll be great fun, and I'm looking forward to it immensely.
Fiji is a fantastic country.
That's what I've heard.
It's the most gorgeous country. And the people are the friendliest that you have, I guarantee, that you will have ever met. They're just the sweetest people. It's a fascinating country. They have the interesting thing about Fiji is there's a little bit of a rivalry, and it's gotten ugly, between native Fijians, those are people that have been there for centuries, and the relatively recently arrived Indian Fijians. They from India, and those people first arrived as, I believe, indentured servants in the late 19th century. Some of them were business people and settled there. And so the Indian or the Fijian of Indian descent is of relatively new presence there in Fiji. And there's been a political clash at times. If you look at the history of Fiji, they've had a couple of coups, and it hasn't been all that pleasant. But for visiting the place, it's breathtaking. And I flew one of these aircraft, you know, takes off from the water, a seaplane. I flew a seaplane across the islands to get to the airport there. And the other thing about Fiji is that, like I said, the people are the friendliest people you've ever met in your life.
Now, you should tell Margaret, though, it was only about 150 years ago that they practiced to a fine art cannibalism.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Now, hold on.
Oh, now, wait a minute. This is something I know something about, because we met the savages eyeball to eyeball when I was on when I was down there and we on the Cook Islands, and I'd gone to the hotel lobby to get a Coke, and when I came out, there was one with the hair, and it was only then that she said, did I want my massage for 2 o'clock?
What are you talking about with the savages?
I heard they were cannibals.
They were cannibals a long time ago. But the Methodist missionaries showed up.
You see, the Methodist missionaries. So it did take the Christian missionaries to civilize these people. That's so disappointing.
Why is it disappointing?
Well, I would hope that some other missionary, like a Wiccan missionary, or did they have, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, no, like a Scientology, that would have been bitching.
Well, Scientology didn't missionary these people, you know.
Well, it's very unfortunate to say they did missionary.
I'm talking about missionaries as in teaching the people not to eat themselves or eat each other or whatever the hell you want to call it. All right, so having said all that, Bobby Dooley is going to join us here in a moment to talk about what has been a long and arduous process of her asserting the religious rights, as she says, of the people there. You guys are still practicing this Easter celebration that we came upon when we talked to Bobby here earlier in the hour. I tell you what, or earlier in the show, I should say. Bobby, if you can hang on.
That's fine, Phil, because
all right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve will be discussing with us, you know, the upcoming Easter festival that they've taken a great deal of heat over because the festival itself sounds rather, well, pagan. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show this Friday night.
And I heard Nikki saying, are you going to relax this weekend? Because you really need to.
I am. I'm going to relax. All of our work is caught up. And everybody is at this festival, South by Southwest, you know, in Austin.
Now, what is this South by Southwest?
I don't want to get too bogged down because we want to get back to Bobby. But it's a comedy and music festival that they have in Austin every year. It is a phenomenal thing. I want to go to it. I just don't have the time, you know. You have to be able to make time. And doing a radio show, you know, you're here. And maybe if somebody would invite me to it or something.
Well, I think if you get I don't want to say, but...
Yeah, if you get the animated show and everything like that, they'll invite you to those, and you'll get to go to the Vanity Fair party and stuff.
Really? The Vanity Fair party, huh?
Well, it is very exclusive, Phil.
Whatever. You know, I got to tell you, I'm playing. My life is so different now. I'd be very humble and very appreciative if I got invited to the Hot Rod magazine party. I don't care if I got invited to the...
What about Boys Life?
Oh, yeah. What about that?
You guys are sick. You know that?
Well, you said you'd be humble and appreciative.
Yeah. Boys Life? What the hell are they going to be doing at the South by Southwest? Anyway... So, yeah, we got caught up. Everything done. Everything's cool. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm going to chill. I'm just going to chill. So that'll be a lot of fun. Now, we have with us Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Vernon is going to be talking to us, as you know, an administrator and a teacher there, talking with us and doing a bit of a debate here with Bobby Dooley. Bobby, I don't think anybody faults, and I can hear you guys have been practicing steady, right?
We have, Phil. We've been practicing steady since about 7 o'clock Pacific time. Steve is
right now. Where is Steve? Steve is now on the far western wing of what we have now, some 500 kids who are part of this Festival of Easter as we mark the resurrection of Jesus. And the idea that this is anything other than Easter celebration really chaps my hide, if I can use that term.
Is it safe to say, Bobby, that you're using elements of tribal dance?
No, it is not safe to say. This is our own spirited, yes, there's a little bit of that, but this is our own spirited, joyful Easter celebration. And while the Easter drums are sounding throughout Western Estates, the children, and here they are, the children are now called to the Easter egg hunt. And you can hear them. You hear that? And Steve calls them and they answer, Steve?
Look out all the way.
Oh, you butchered it again, didn't you? Boy, you, Steve, if you had a brain, you'd take it out and play with it.
What happened?
Well, what happened was is that first Steve calls the children to the Easter egg hunt, and they were... All right, they're responding now. Steve, do it.
Shoot, I'm not doing it good.
Yeah, no, you're doing it good. There we go. All right, kids, that's great. Everybody stand down. All right, who are the ones that... Everyone stand down for a few minutes, okay, so that we can get our... I want to get our bearings here and find out exactly where everybody is. Turn that music off, please. All right, Phil, I'm ready, but you will be hearing in the background. We'll be continuing, as you know, our... rehearsal.
All right. We'll bring on the line here from Belmar Academy, Vernon Dozier. Vernon, how you doing tonight?
Very good, Phil. Thank you.
And, of course, Bobby Dooley is with us. We're going to be debating here, Bobby, the relative value of this Easter celebration. I think Vernon is believes, as a lot of us do, that this owes less to a traditional Easter celebration and more to what it was those police officers were asking you about when they first showed up at Western Estates all these many months ago, that it was, in fact, some kind of a pagan rite. And that is, I think, what was scaring them more than anything else.
Well, I will tell you, and then Vernon, I'd certainly like to hear your feelings on this. A pagan rite? We are celebrating as only we know how at Western Estates. We have the freedom of the religion to do as we please.
Don't you think it's an unusual way to celebrate Easter?
No, I don't. Look at him doing that. That's a bat out of hell. Did you see that? That's a Lamborghini.
I've seen that Lamborghini.
Wow, that guy was moving. We just saw a Lamborghini going like a bat out of hell, Phil. It was really interesting.
Uh-huh.
Phil, can I jump in?
Go ahead.
Ms. Dooley, to say that there is something, not quite... See, that's disturbing when I hear that.
What is disturbing about it?
Well, I'm listening to what sounds to me like the last thing Captain Bly heard before someone put an axe through one of his shipmates' heads.
Look at that. There goes another one. No, that's a McLaren.
That's McLaren, Mercedes McLaren.
Are people listening to me?
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm listening to the sounds of drums. That sounds like the last thing that an English seaman would hear before he has an axe dropped right through his head and his brains become just a part of a soup that is mixed in a bowl made with his skull. How's that feel?
No, that doesn't send me. I'm okay.
So you're not grossed out by that?
No, not at all. What we're doing, this is... Okay.
I think what you have going there sounds like some kind of a non-Christian South Pacific wild...
This is very traditional. This is, right here, the drums. This is the call to the Easter egg hunt. And here come the children.
I'll tell you, if I was a British soldier with one of those big tall hats and one of those Springfield rifles, friend, I'd be down behind the sandbags right now.
What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything. If I was an English soldier with a Springfield rifle and one of those big tall hats, I'd be down behind a sandbag.
Oh my God, you trying to say some kind of Zulu?
Are you saying this sounds like the attack of the Zulu?
I think it does, yes.
See, Phil, this is what I mean about the racism of our society.
All right, I think that you may want to...
Hold on, Phil. I don't... Don't get Rudy, will you? Where's Rudy?
Got himself a pineapple drink, I think, but I can find out where he is and then
we'll
get back to
him. Get Rudy Canosa. He's having a pineapple drink,
sir. That's nice. Vernon Dozier is with us. Go ahead, Vernon. Say what you'd like to say.
She's still watching Lamborghinis. I'm saying.
Look at that. Damn, that is a nice car.
A hell of a nice ride.
It really is. Go ahead.
I'm saying that if you call this an Easter celebration, then why don't you come to my house and I'll go swimming in my pool without any pants on, and you can call that a baptism.
That was absolutely sacrilegious, what you just said.
Why is that sacrilegious? And you're out there with the jungle drums.
What's wrong with it? It's the Easter celebration. Here's Rudy Canosa. Rudy, what I want you to do is kick their asses into shape, will you?
Rudy, Phil, how are you?
Rudy, how are you? I got Vernon Dozier.
Vernon? Yes, sir. I'm going to speak to the young people. You want me to do the Easter egg call?
Do the call to the egg.
Right, the call to the egg.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
See how good he does it, Steve?
Shoot.
La 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 la.
I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, all of this sounds very, very good. Thank you very much. All of this sounds real cute, and all of this sounds very tight and sweet. But there's something basically wrong about all this jungle action going on, and you're on an Easter egg hunt.
Well, who says there can't be drums during an Easter egg hunt?
I would say this, Bobby. You found a very unique way. Are those all homeowners?
Yes, those are all of our homeowners. They're all lined up. There they are. Now, those are the senior citizens. And the senior citizens are doing the call to the egg bell for the young people.
Who's playing the drums?
The senior citizens. And now the young people are dancing. And then, okay, now the young people and the senior citizens are dancing. And now they've trained.
Okay, thanks very much.
Look, Phil, I want to ask you, do you have a job?
Okay, that's great.
I don't think anything got cleared up, but I did get one thing. If she's not hurting anyone...
What do you mean if she's not hurting anyone? You heard all of the frenzy of that. I can well imagine, after a certain time of the night, when they begin to drink from the shell of a coconut, you see... The fermented juices of some kind of tropical bean, I don't know. You can well imagine the things that'll happen.
Did Bob Drabby think about nudity?
Maybe. Could very well be, yes.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not willing to read into it.
But about what Vernon said, if you call that an Easter festival, then him in his pool with no pants on is a baptism.
What about it?
What do you think of that?
I don't know. It sounded about as stupid as everything else that was happening over there. I think that if she's not hurting anybody, but I'll tell you one thing. If it's a disturbing the peace rap, yeah, then there you go.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Mr. Ernie. There's nothing wrong with it, but if she's bugging people morning, noon, and night, and everybody going, yeah, da, 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 you know, all kind of stuff like that, yeah.
What?
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. Nonetheless, I agree that it's the worst thing that's possibly happening there is a disturbing of the peace, if you'll pardon the expression, peace. It's the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And isn't this a nice little lilting number here?
But I thought I'd put some Western music on instead of all the jungle.
What is it with you guys around here tonight? Everybody feeling empowered to start knocking everything because it comes from Africa. Knock it off, okay?
I'll try to say that, Mr.
You still. What is this? This is the simple-minded... All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Now, what is this? You should tell people.
Yeah, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, what you're looking at here is a drum right next to me here on the camera. This is a drum from Madagascar.
Well, now, is this one of the tribal native drums that Dooley has? Or?
Oh, I don't know what she's got, but this is an actual drum from Madagascar. And it's a cool drum. I bought this from a chap that I know who is from Madagascar. He owns, or did own, the mail center where we get our mail, where we have our post office box. Now, you can see here, this is a rope. For those of you that are watching us on Phil TV, this is like a shoulder strap. You sling the rope, you sling the drum over your shoulder, and you can see they've actually braided this rope to make it look like a chain. And it's wood, and you got your regular skin top. The bottom of it is hollow, and the reason why it's hollow is because that's really where the sound emanates from. And this is the size of this drum, you can see, is big. So it's kind of a bass drum. It gives you a lower register of the drum.
Now, do you know how to play that, or do you just bang around on it to drive people ape? You know what I mean? I'm not criticizing.
Well, no. I mean, I just bang around on it, but not to drive anybody ape. Do I know how to play it? No, I don't know how to play it. I mean,
well, you'd have to find other Madagascarians.
Yeah, I'd have to find another guy from Madagascar. Are there any guys around here?
Are there any guys around here from Madagascar? No, I don't think so, bud. I mean, the closest guy I knew was in Westlake Village. But he sold me this drum, and he said, hey, Phil, I'm going back. Every now and again, he was going back to Madagascar. He said, I'm going back to Madagascar. You want another drum? I said, yeah, you know. But I don't think he's around anymore. I think he sold the business, him and his wife. This is a cool drum, you know.
Didn't you say that you went to some kind of a drum festival with a lot of very suspect Norwegian people? And
no, they weren't suspect. You mean they were from Minnesota?
Oh, yeah, that was it, yeah.
Suspect. Yeah, there was a drum festival in Minneapolis. Most of the people were like Swedes, or I mean American, but I don't know. But so there you go, you know.
I think the drums are fascinating. I've told Jason J. Delmonico that if he wants to take up the drums, that his father and I would purchase a set of drums. But, he better get damn good on those, because I don't buy a musical instrument for a kid just so he can sit there and noodle about and waste my time and his learning how to be half-assed on it. I want the kid to be tops. I want him to be top of the line, or someone's going to hear about it. That's my philosophy.
Thumbs, Graham, give the kid a break.
Yeah, what do you hope to gain?
I hope to gain a son that knows... Get a load of him. I hope to gain a son that knows how to play the drums. Oh!
Well, I understand that, Margaret, but why put that kind of pressure on the chap?
What is that?
He means your son.
Well, I'm putting pressure on the boy because I want him to be the very best. If he cannot be the very best, I don't want to know him. And I don't mean that literally, but I sort of do. So I love him, and I would be with my son, but I wouldn't want to go to any drum festival if he sucked, and I think you understand.
You know, Margaret, there's this stage mother. You call yourself a woman who is not a stage mother.
I'm not.
Well, you act just like a stage mother. What do you mean he's got to be the best? Can't the kid just be what he is?
He is being what he is. The best.
Oh, yeah, right. You don't even know if that's true or not.
Bud, why don't you be quiet? Because every time I hear something coming out of that hole under your nose, it makes me think of I don't know. I just hear the screams of children. It's just...
All right. I won't tell you how to parent. But if a kid ought to be able to just have some fun. You know, when I was a kid, my parents tried to teach me how to play the piano. I did not like the piano. It was too complicated for me. I did not have aptitude for it.
Were you saying you weren't bright enough?
Well, yeah, I probably wasn't bright enough.
Well, what did you find difficult about it?
When I was a kid, they would take me to the piano lessons. And we had a very nice teacher. He was a nice man. He was a patient man. I was only about 7 or 8. But he'd show me the chords, and he'd show me, you know, and do this exercise, Phil, you know, doon, 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 doon.
What exercise?
It's like an exercise with your right hand, you know?
Oh, that kind.
Piano, man, okay?
What an animal.
Ow!
I didn't touch him. Let the record show.
Nah, she didn't touch you, bud.
Yes, she did. How come it felt like somebody pinched my butt?
Because you pinched your own ass, probably.
Woo-hoo! What a jackass.
Anyway, he would give us all of these, you know, different exercises. I didn't relate to it. I didn't relate to it. I love music. My whole life I've loved music. I've I listen to music. I buy music. I go to musical, you know, I go to shows. But when I found the drums, I'm not saying I'd be a good drummer, but this is the one instrument that doesn't take, I mean, for a guy like me, doesn't take a lot of brains, you know.
Yeah, but the drums are very, very intricate, Mr. Henry. You have to be a really, you know, like a good one.
I have to be like a good one?
God, just spit it out, man. I did spit it out.
No, you're right. I mean, playing drums well, like anything else, is extremely difficult. And if you hear the great drummers, the really great drummers, and what I mean by that is I don't mean...
Well, what about the timpani players, like in the symphony orchestra, the ones that have the big boom, boom, ba-boom, boom, you know?
Now, see, I don't know that kind of drum. I guess I'm talking about drummers in musical combos, jazz drummers, rock and roll drummers.
Well, I don't know. Those guys, they're stumble bums, you know. If you can play the... These guys, Phil, they're sticking everything they find up their noses. And the towel that they were cutting it up on. It all goes up the nose, and you're telling me they know how to play drums? I don't know.
Well, Margaret, I don't know what you're talking about now. I'm saying to play drums, jazz drummers are some of the best in the world.
Who's a great jazz drummer, Phil? Go ahead.
Well, you know, Elvin Jones. I mean, Joe Morello. You know, you can go on and on, you know, and talk about the great jazz drummers, the rock drummers. You know, we've already talked about the Ginger Bakers of the world and John Bonham. I had this big argument with people about John Bonham.
Well, what did you say about John Bonham?
I was quoting Ginger Baker. And Ginger Baker said, and I happen to agree with him, but it got me in all kinds of trouble.
Was this on Phil, this was Facebook. Who cares what those lummoxes think?
Well, you know, that's exactly... So I said, Ginger Baker had said... He says, the general... This is, I'm quoting Ginger Baker. He said, the general public is really stupid... He said, how anybody could think that John Bonham is anywhere near as good as me is crazy. He said, John Bonham had great technique, but John Bonham couldn't swing. And he said, and that's what, you know, that's what I had all over John Bonham. Now, I agree with that. I think Ginger Baker was a far, far better drummer. But I said that. And with all the, you know, all the Led Zeppelin fans, you know, forget it. I mean...
Well, Phil, Led Zeppelin was...
Led Zeppelin, Phil, was probably one of the finest bands. And, you know, I wouldn't call myself an aficionado of rock and roll. But Led Zeppelin, everybody knows, they're the bad boys on the block.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Well, everybody doesn't know that. I mean, I think Led Zeppelin's a fine band. I'm talking about the drummer in the band, John Bonham. I've seen both those guys. I saw Ginger Baker. I saw John Bonham. And I've heard Ginger Baker, and I've heard John Bonham. And I, you know, so...
So there you are, going against the tide again, swimming against the tide, and all of the Led Zeppelin... Look, Phil, those meatheads over...
Don't start talking about people on Facebook as meatheads. All right. So, a couple of other news stories to get to here.
Well, we got some phone calls.
Yeah, I got a couple of people calling in, want to take exception to what you've been talking about, you know.
All right. I don't know how much time we have. We got Dave Oliva calling in, and I know Dave is a music fan, as well as, you know, a big law enforcement aficionado. Dave, how are you doing tonight?
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm doing real good. I just wanted to say, first of all, I really enjoy your program, and thank you for putting me on the air tonight. What I have to say, Mr. Henry, is I have a great deal of respect for you, but what I just heard you say, you know, man, I can't believe it. You know, I mean, John Bonham, everybody knows, is probably one of the finest drummers that have ever lived, you know. And for you to say that Ginger Baker, I mean, Ginger Baker was a meth freak. He was all messed up, you know.
Yeah, what about that?
What about what, man? What about what?
Ginger Baker was on speed.
You know something? You don't know that, and neither do I. And until such time as we hear it from the man, I'm not going to be slandering anybody. Maybe he used drugs. I'm sure he did. You think John Bonham didn't?
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
Well, let's see. How did he die? Oh, I know. You know.
Well, yeah, John Bonham was drinking. He vomited up, you know.
Yeah, he choked on his own vomit. That's the way most of them die.
Is that right? Is that the way most of them die? Well, regardless... as a matter of fact, John Bonham, I don't know how he died. What'd they find in his system? Do you know, Margaret?
I don't know. We could look it up. But I do know that if John Bonham nodded off, it's very likely he was doing heroin.
Well, I think that, you know, Ms. Gray, I think you got to watch that.
Excuse me, young man, but if he nodded off, he might have been snorting heroin, and that certainly doesn't bode well for the reputation of John Bonhomme, which is the proper French pronunciation, Phil. Yes, I said French. John Bonham.
John Bonham?
I didn't say Bonham. That's very disrespectful.
No, ma'am. I'm calling up to say that John Bonham is my favorite drummer. You're the one who disrespected him by saying Bonham, or what's his name again?
John Bonham, man. She said he choked on heroin.
No, he choked on his own vomit after snorting heroin, maybe.
Okay, so now that we've spread all these rumors, Nikki is here with the real truth. What happened to John Bonham?
The real truth is that in the 24 hours before he died, he consumed 40 shots of 40% ABV vodka, and he vomited and aspirated and died.
Now, was he throwing up on his, he was on his back?
Yep.
And that's what happened. He puked in his sleep.
Yep. There was no other drugs in his system.
No other drug, alcohol.
Well, there you go, Mr. Henry. That's the one thing that will kill anybody is alcohol. And to say that, you know,
he was doing heroin. It's a bad thing. You're right. You're right. It's a slander.
Well, let the record show that I didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, thank you, Margaret. You want to put that in your column?
How dare you?
No, put it in your column that you don't know what you're talking about.
But that still doesn't say that John Bonham was not better than Ginger Baker.
No, it doesn't, but I'm telling you, if you guys are going to start knocking Ginger Baker for whatever it is that he may have done in terms of drugs, John Bonham, 40 shots of vodka. Was he in a competition with somebody? Was it, what the hell?
He was just a known drinker.
Yeah, well, deadly, man. Okay, Nikki, thank you for that. And Dave Oliva, thank you, buddy. I think we need to break because we're way, way off the beaten path here now. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We're going to come back here and wrap up here on this Friday night. And look, I'm not trying to tell anybody anything. It's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. You guys, I know a lot of you love John Bonham. I thought John Bonham was great. I'm not saying anything. I think the band was great, everything. I just want to see Daddy Ginger, Big Bad Mr. Baker, get a little bit of love, you know.
Ginger Baker's a nutcase.
He's fantastic. Phil Henry Show.
Now, what do you think of this group as opposed to Led Zeppelin?
Who?
This group, Flock of Seagulls.
They suck.
Oh, wow, you really...
What'd you say, Nick? Nick?
I said, why are you playing them then?
Why are you playing them?
Because it's good bumper music.
Well, Nikki... I tried to ask your question, but he shot it right out of my mouth.
Thank you, Margaret.
God, shot it out of your mouth. How vulgar.
Hey, watch it, man. World famous Phil Henry Show. You got to be kidding me, right?
Are you trying to tell me that Flock of Seagulls is worse than Led Zeppelin? I don't understand.
Yeah, they are, Margaret. Just take it from me. All right, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
You know, you're talking about the great drummers. And you and Nikki made a very good point. It depends on the kind of music that you like. Now, Led Zeppelin and Cream, you mentioned Cream, Phil.
Yeah.
Both of those bands, you could stick into a bus and shove it off a cliff, and I'd cut a fart and go back to sleep. That's what I would do. What do you think about that?
Fine. I mean, you know.
You're not offended by that?
I'm offended. No, I'm not offended by it. General, what do you, you know?
No, I, you're right. I just, that's not my kind of music. If you took the Beatles and you took the Stones?
The Rolling Stones?
Yeah, the Rolling, and you stuck them in a bus and set it on fire and rolled it down a steep embankment, let's say 600 feet to a canyon floor, I would take a look, check my watch, and still wait for the mailman. All right?
All right, so the bottom line is that music matters not to you.
I could care less about any of that music. Now, because you guys, when you talk about that music, you don't know your ass from 40 cents a week. I'll tell you, because I've been around good music, what the musicianship and the way that you the things you need to know to do the thing that you need to do, And
what are you trying to say?
I'm saying, Phil, you know about that.
Well, what are you? Yeah, the musicianship and the things that you need to know how to do. So, what are you getting at?
I want to tell you, here is some music. This is great. Now listen to this. What happened to the music that I wanted, Bud?
Oh, I don't know. If you're talking about the polka music, I don't know where it went.
Now here we go. Listen to this. Now that's that gay. That's gay. That's very gay. Please don't make me listen to that. Please. Here we are. Would you stop with that? I'm sorry. Why is that happening, Bud? Yeah, get rid of it, man. Just clear that out. Ah, there we go. Now, locate. I guess we don't have that music, General. I think the music, the polka music you wanted to hear, is not there.
Polka music? General Shaw, is this your way of being a big baby?
What are you talking about?
Why would you... We don't want to listen to that.
Wait, hold on. You think I want to play polka music just to be a pain in the ass?
Well, what? You really like it, huh?
Yes, I like it. The intricacy of the slap dance has yet to be fully appreciated. Well, look at him. He's laughing.
You're kidding me or something, man. The intricacy of a slap dance.
Have you ever seen, you know something? If I want to be heard, Phil.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen a man in leather shorts? All right. You know what? I'm gonna go outside, light a cigar, and smoke it in one drag.
See you later, General.
Is he kidding?
I don't think he's kidding. I think he didn't do himself any favors when he said, "Have you ever seen a man in leather shorts?"
But that's supposed to mean...
That's what they wear when they do that Bavarian slap dance stuff. We actually had a Blue Cat Blues Hour on our weekend show here on the Phil Henry on Phil Henry TV, Phil TV, and we played or Blue Cat played some polka music.
Now, this Blue Cat, what's his story? That guy...
Well, he plays the blues, but he owns a blues club in Milwaukee, and it's right smack dab in the middle of a heavily German neighborhood, and he couldn't get anybody in that club for love or money until he started bringing in these oompa bands on weekends, right?
Yeah, on a beer garden.
Oh, I see. Does he have the beer the traditional beer garden?
Yeah, you know, he's got the little traditional beer garden. So he started to have these... Oompa polka bands, and that started to bring the people in, and that's how he got people to hang around for Sunday and Saturday night blues. And, you know...
Well, I find it very difficult to believe that if Chicago is such a mecca for blues, that Milwaukee would not also be one.
Milwaukee, yeah, I would like to know exactly how that's all fallen together, man. Chicago's a hell of a city for the blues, for obvious reasons. It's at the... You know, it's one of the major cities... on the Mississippi.
Well, you know, one thing about Mississippi, you trying to tell me the blues musician come up the Mississippi?
Well, yeah, the Mississippi was the traditional route of travel for people. This is before we had railroads and before we had...
Yeah, but I mean, the blues come up before railroads?
Yeah, they couldn't afford it, man. What do you think they did?
What do you mean they couldn't afford it?
They couldn't afford to take a bus, so they had to drift up the river.
They didn't drift up on the river, man. They came up on river boats. They came up on paddle boats. That was the main artery of travel south to north in America for many, many years. And then, of course, the railroads. And then, of course, automobiles and all the other things. But the father of all the waters, as we call it, the granddaddy of the waters, or whatever the hell they call it.
What did they call it?
The father of the waters, isn't that it?
What is?
The Mississippi River.
What?
You know what, Bud? I had a... So,
Well...
So, anyway, yeah, so that's how they got up to Chicago. I don't know. So the blues came up to Chicago before they had automobiles. What do you want from me, you know?
Well, I'm just saying, did they drift?
No, they didn't drift, man. What do you mean they drifted?
They didn't have the money.
All right, Bud, if I want to get up the Mississippi River to Chicago, do I get on a paddle boat or do I get on a raft and drift?
If you can't afford it.
Even if I can't afford a paddle boat, I ain't about to get on a raft and just drift and hope that I make it to Chicago.
You could take, well, like that in the Clint Eastwood movie.
You don't even know what you're talking about, man. All right, thank God we have come to the end of our rope And when I say the end of our rope, I mean we have come to the end of our show. But tonight it's been a rope. Tonight it's been a little bit of a rope. Nikki McKee is, it's soap on a rope. Nikki has been our technical director.
30 seconds.
She's the one that you hear counting it down, so all you guys will go, hey, good evening, Nikki, I just get it done. And we'll see you guys on Monday, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Have a great weekend. I know I will.